Welcome to the Psychology of the Mystics, a map just for you. And this map is designed to guide you to the seven most common views as perceived by mystics. It will show you how they differ in their psychology from your psychology. And it will show you how to change yours to match theirs. Now, many of you have already watched the Psychology of the Mystics video that is on YouTube and on my site. However, that video only covers the first three. So here, we're going to cover all seven. But first, let's look at what defines a mystic. You notice there's a question mark there over, is it true or is it false? Is all of the things that all the spiritual paths and personal evolution workshops tell you about what's possible true or false? So a mystic is a little different than other spiritual folk because they're not fond of simply believing in God or the divine. Instead, they insist on a personal and direct encounter. So before we go further, for those of you who like to know what it is you're learning, here's a list of the beings who were studied and out of which the model came by looking at their conscious and unconscious beliefs and assumptions about the world based on either my personal experience with them or by studying their writings over time. Why the mystics? Why am I able to look at them? Because they are able to stay unflappable. And that means they're able to be present, centered, responsive, and accepting no matter what is happening around them. Don't you wish you could be like that little frog when the snake was coming at you? That's what this is designed to help you create within your own mind body as a new option of response. So how do the mystics do this? Well, they look at the world through what I call their mystic's eye. It sees things differently than your mind's eye, and they trust it more than the mind's eye. If you've read Unflappable, there's a very distinct description in my book about the distinction between those two, and we'll talk about it more in the first call. Essentially, the mystic eye sees through the things you've been taught to believe about life so that you can see what's on the other side of it. The mind's eye can only see how you've been taught to perceive the world, which is usually your cultural heritage, the time frame you've been born in, and your family. So the mystical views that you're going to see here reveal a friendly, protective, and loving universe. So you can imagine as if these mystical perspectives were true, and then you will explore and find out for yourself if in fact they are true and are they useful. So the stunning fact that you probably are aware of is that there were seven ways of looking at the world that were the same in this study across the board, regardless of the gender, the tradition, or the time period that the mystics I studied were in. So the first worldview is that everything is impermanent. Now, for most of us, that's not a good thing because we see impermanent and we see the end. But the mystics look at impermanence and realize that because it is permanent and always there, it's a good thing to look at as trustworthy. It becomes a great advisor and actually is the key to inner peace in daily life. And that gives you a new beginning and allows you to navigate the continual endings and beginnings that impermanence creates and brings into your life every single day. Worldview number two, there are multiple levels of reality. This is incredibly important in learning this work that you're going to be doing here in the Mystic's Wisdom Decoded. There are many layers to our reality that we can visit. These layers exist simultaneously. And every layer has its own rules, the physical, the emotional, the mental, psychological, the energetic, the spiritual. The biggest mistake that most of us make is forgetting that you cannot impose the rules of one level onto another. And we'll talk about that later in this module when we talk about collapsing and deleting levels of reality. So hang on with your questions on that one. Worldview number three, duality is the way it is. And we're all familiar with the yin-yang symbol, which represents duality. What we forget is you can't get away from duality, which means, in actual everyday behavior, opposites. The mind's eye is blind to the hidden harmony that actually exists between opposites, and that this entire training is designed to help you see by discovering your mystic's eye, which is capable of seeing the harmony. And when you can see the harmony, there is no problem in your ability to embrace what is going on between the opposites. And that's what you're going to learn all about in all of these modules in the Mystic's Wisdom Decoded. Now, here's the new views for those of you who have watched this already for the first three. You haven't seen these before. So here's worldview number four. Movement becomes the highest value. Now, movement is described as the ability to continually and immediately change or shift positions. When embracing change, that makes movement leap to the top of the values hierarchy. When you see that you can't get rid of change, then movement becomes an incredibly highly valued ability. Worldview number five, each of us is the whole and the part. So this says that the notion of self, actually self as a separate being, is a metaphor. It's the foundation of your story as a personality. Claiming thoughts, emotions, or actions that come out of this story of yourself as a separate being are actually the cause for suffering, because you claim it as your primary identity. The freedom that most people who are taking this training, and that means you, the freedom you seek is actually from the mind, not a freedom of the mind. I know the first time I really understood this particular thing, it was quite stunning to realize the freedom, again, is from the mind, not a freedom of the mind. A very big distinction which we'll work with in this training. Worldview number six, your highest identity is consciousness itself. Now, the mystics that I studied, I want to say, identified themselves as consciousness, not something good and not something bad. So they had moved beyond the idea of being a good person or a bad person and identified themselves as consciousness itself. So this is discovered, according to the mystics, by investigating the fundamental nature of your inner experience. This is how you discover it. And you use awareness to investigate your inner experience. The thing is, you can't really get to this level of investigation without understanding duality in a different way, relating to opposites in a different way. And that, my friends, is what this entire course is all designed to help you discover. So your highest identity, according to mystics, is not determined by your behavior, your thoughts, your emotions, or your actions. And this is totally different from the basic way that we are all taught in our world, which basically says you are what you think, you feel, and you do. Now, let me say here, this is a paradox, because at one level, yes, what you do, you think, and you feel is incredibly important to determining your sense of self. But the mystics say, don't stop there, go a little further. Worldview number seven says, there is no separation from God. The separation experience that we all endure whenever we are identified with our behavior, our thoughts, or our emotions, this experience lives at a specific level of reality, and that level of reality is actually the level of opposites or duality. This experience of separation becomes the truth for us if we do not have access to the next level of reality upwards. So you see, this is why it's incredibly important to remember there are multiple levels of reality. Part of our job is to begin to learn how to navigate them. When you live in this separation experience, it creates immense suffering because of profound confusion about the ultimate nature of who you are, the issue of I or me, who am I, and how to navigate duality or opposites. So these are the basic seven worldviews that actually are very, very different from the worldviews that most of us walk around in daily life. So our job in this training is to help you get what you need to learn how to take your psychology, your map of the world, and map it to match the mystical map. So you're going to shift your psychology to match the psychology of the mystic, should you decide that's what you wish to do once you understand all of these things at the level that you need to understand them. When you do this, this will increase your probability of finding inner peace and a different brand of happiness, which, if you've watched the Beggar's Secret 3 video series, you know that the different brand of happiness refers to the happiness that comes with learning the facticity 6-step process, which is what you are here to learn in this training. Okay, so here is, oh, I forgot. It also helps you receive practical wisdom right at your fingertips, which of course is the whole point. What's the point of being a spiritual being and having these wonderful insights and depths of wisdom if you can't bring it into your daily life and use it to navigate all the problems and challenges and difficulties and disappointments of being a human being on a journey? So here's your homework between now and the next video, and that is to write down any of your objections that you have to any of these mystical perspectives. Write down what doesn't make sense to you so that whenever we have our live call coming up soon, you can bring your questions and ask them in person on the call to me, and we can have a conversation about it that everyone will be able to hear. So any question you have is one that will serve everyone on the call. No such thing as a stupid question. Okay, that's it for today. I want to see you in the next video. Much love.